Marja I'm a compulsive eater. Been in this program in these rooms for a very long time. I'm going to do the usual thing of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, but I have a theme for today. My theme for today is going to any lengths as I trudge. And sometimes these last 6 months, I've been sludging the road to happy destiny. So that's my theme for today. I'll start out with, qualifying and what it was like and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking about this year. I want to emphasize or really also focus on what I've been given in this lifetime, which is beyond my wildest dreams. My family, I grew up in the 50s. I'm 72 years old. I had a lot of support as a kid. And my parents loved me deeply. There were certainly lots of issues that we all as a family had to deal with. And what I appreciate is the love and the curiosity for culture and our family really appreciating the arts and my artistic abilities being supported for that in my early years. And, looking at scrapbooks now that my mother had saved of my drawings when I was like 4 and 5 years old, and we used to go have to drive to the bank, and so there's bank slips in there that are drawn on, and there are little cutouts that I did of animals and birds and my family, and so those are really sweet. And my parents really, really did so much for us as kids, going to art museums, science museums, plays, performances. So I have this innate joie de vivre, which was really most essentially from my mother, and this curiosity, an insatiable curiosity that I've carried with me through my whole life. There are certainly many of you have heard my story. My mother's a Holocaust survivor. Our family had to deal with PTSD and trauma from ancestors to the current life that I had. There was chronic depression, a lot of anxiety. My grandfather had committed suicide. There were d addictions, and there were also family traumas that were so overwhelming that they eventually brought me to binging and purging and all those other various destructive behaviors. My brother disappeared in July of 1980, and we found him 10 days later. He was drowned. And that started me on this cycle of binging and purging. It had always been. Food was so important. My family, it was so important. It was a way to celebrate. And when I became diabetic at the age of 14, so that's 58 years plus now, it was the focus of my life was to try to control, right? Try to control this diabetes. And at that time, we had nothing. We had urine sticks, which told you what it was like 45 minutes ago. So I passed out a lot. I found myself in circumstances that were so difficult throughout my childhood and my young adulthood. And food was the answer. Food was the answer. If I didn't know if it was high or low, I ate because physiologically, if I was low, I wanted to eat everything in sight. When my brother died in 1980, it was so unfathomable and excruciating that I turned to food. And I had an endocrinologist at the time who said, "Do you want to live for him or do you want to die for him?" And I basically couldn't stop. And then 2 years later, my mother was diagnosed with brain cancer and she died within 11 months. And again, the cycle of not having control, not being able to do anything to make her better, watching her move away from us in this experience of having brain cancer, and her becoming childlike, and all of us, working to take care of her, and so hurting, so hurting. And, my life, I was the oldest of three kids. My mother, being a Holocaust survivor, came here in 1949. She had had to have an abortion while she was in a Jewish children's camp in France. And, to this day, I don't know if she was raped. She had to, she was raped by the doctor who, or the person, whoever did the abortion. And then she came to the United States in 1949, and she had me in 51. So, wow. Wow. So, yeah, so life on life's terms is, to till today, a really interesting concept and a really interesting idea to think about. So, what happened? I mean, I was in these health programs when I was trying to get non-addicted, and I came into the rooms before December of 87. That's when I actually came in and I stayed, but I said, those people are all crazy. And I walked back out for another 8 years and, lived through really hellish times with my addiction. So in March of 19, March 1st, 1990, so this is an anniversary month, I got into program, and I became abstinent subsequently in March 90. And there's a person in this room who is so dear to me, who helped me and said she would not give up on me. I mean, I had flunked out, it was kind of a how approach that time at that time. And I couldn't make 30 days of abstinence with three people. And they said, well, we need to flunk you. And this person said, I ain't going anywhere. If you keep calling me, I don't care if you're binging, just call me and let's do work the steps. And that's what I began to do. And I cannot say how grateful to that individual I am, and how grateful I am to this amazing program, because left to my own devices, as I've said many times in this meeting, I wouldn't be alive. I would basically have died because of binging myself or purging myself to breath. And there is a concept of which, science, I mean, medical providers use now these days, called diabulimia. It means when you don't take enough insulin, and you, so all your sugar is coming out of your system, but you are pickling the inside of your system. You're basically injuring your organs. Higher incidence of heart disease and stroke, yada yada yada. So I really want to talk today also about what it's like now in terms of dealing with aging, and with a tremendous number of health issues that have come up in the last 6 months, and that my abstinence and my food plan have tremendously changed over time. Little did I know that I would need to change those because of health circumstances and multiple fractures in the last 2 or 3 years, and so much. And life on life's terms. Today, these days, for my life, since I have been in program, I have to plan. I think many of you know I'm on a bone density injection every day. So I get up and I take two types of meds that I need to take. Then I wait a half hour. Then I take the Forteo injection. Then I wait a half hour to eat. That is going to end because I've been on the injection for 2 years, and I'm going to be starting an infusion therapy that is going to happen every month. And I have to go to Castro Valley to do that. So it's not that convenient. But what I did want to say is, every day, whether I'm going to be here or whether or not, I have three meals, and then I also do whatever I need to intervene if the blood sugar is low. And that is part of my process. And if I'm going out, I pack for the next 6 to 12 hours, regardless of how long and where I'm going to be, because the circumstances are so, I think circumstances are so unknown in my life that I just have to do that. You know, the pandemic years have greatly altered my way of life. I have been physically alone for long spans of time. I was just saying to a fellow this morning, I did not think that this was going to be my 70s. I thought I would go traveling. I would be with friends and family. I would do lots of stuff I'd been wanting to do. And it ain't happening. It ain't happening because of life on life's terms. And I, you know, things that make me happy are, you know, are artwork, spend time with friends, family, and my honorary grandchildren, you know, making jewelry, going to performances. These bring me happiness and joy. And I've had to reschedule or cancel, or because people get sick, and not just with COVID, but anything else. And because I'm immunocompromised, I make the choice on a daily basis to be as safe as I can. And I have to say that I have an attitude about all this, and I have an attitude that's with gratitude. So I need to have an attitude to take care of myself. And I'm gonna encapsulate for you what that means in the next few minutes. I am continuing to push what it means to go to any lengths. Over the last week, I was in the ER a week ago, this Thursday, and I went back to ER the day before yesterday because I was advised that given my circumstances of extreme cramping and diarrhea and constipation and all of those wonderful things we all pray not to have to deal with, I was having major problems. And last week, the way that the way that the ER doctor treated me was horrific. And the ER doctor yesterday was a different doctor, but she basically started out when she first saw me by saying, "What are you doing here? You were here last week. Nothing has changed since last week." And they had did a CAT scan, so I said, "Well, can show me the CAT scan." She said, "Why do you need to see the CAT scan? How do you know? Are you a radiologist? Do you know how to read CAT scans? Are you aware of what you should be looking at?" And I said, "Just show me the CAT scan." I was so pissed off, but I said, "Just show me the CAT scan." So she shows me the CAT scan and she says, "You know where to look?" And I said, "Yeah, the left panel, the left side on the CAT scan shows my colon. Last week when I came in here, it was impacted and I was ex in excruciating pain. And the doctor gave me strategies. Those strategies didn't work. And he also told me to put my finger up my rectum to clear out the stuff. So I said, "I'm back." And she said, "Your situation is not acute. It's the same as last week." So I put it to the scan and I said, "That's where the bowel is." And she said, "Yeah, and it's clear now." And I said, "Well, that's great news. That's great news." But putting up, so, you know, different medical providers with different recommendations, some providers being kind and some being demeaning, insulting, questioning my knowledge and my abilities. So pushing, I am pushing, you know, what this means to go to any lengths. And I'm reflecting and talking to the universe a lot. Okay, God, or okay, universe, what the heck do I do next? I got lots of people telling me lots of things to do it and how to do it. And here I am with the same symptoms and the same cramping and the same miserable situation. My current state of being sucks. I'm sorry. My current state of being sucks. Then I do yoga, breathing, and meditation every day for at least 40 minutes. I don't always get immediate answers. And finally, I wait for guidance which I is hard to do when your digestive system is cramping and your blood sugars are dancing. But I wait to hear the right answer. And I want to finish my share with the reading today, because my fellow this morning pointed out the reading for today, which is so apropos. So here we go. March 30th. Anger is a short madness for us. I have to be careful about my attitude toward anger. I know that it is healthy to own my feelings, to admit to myself that I'm angry as a first step in dealing with that powerful and destructive emotion. It takes time to find balance, however, and sometimes I swing wildly between extremes. I don't swing so much anymore. I come around quicker these days. When I lack the courage to express my anger, I can write about it or talk it over with someone and then forgive myself. The amazing thing is that as I grow in this program, I find less and less to be angry about. For today, sanity is not how well I can hide my anger. It is having no need to react to people, places, and things by becoming angry. Now, I have to say, I'm not a saint. So I really appreciate when I was talking to this person on Thursday, that righteous indignation, it really worked. It really worked on Thursday. I was so pissed off at her that I could hardly contain myself. But I gave her my opinion on how she was treating me. And I said, okay, I'm here. So what do I do next? Now we've looked at the CAT scan. I see that I'm not impacted. What are your recommendations? And she began again, well, what do you mean? Are you constipated or are you having diarrhea? What do you want me to tell you? I said, just give me what to do for both. And with that, I just said, get me out of here. Just get me out of here. And I recognized that my righteous indignation could be easily turned to resentment, which, as we know, is the number one poison in this program. So I needed to breathe and I needed to hold back the other things I wanted to say to her. And I had to say, thank you. I'm leaving and leave the rest. Because that was the only thing I could do in this situation. And, again, I'm going to say finally, I trudge and sometimes sludge toward whatever that road of happiness, my road of destiny can be. And it's basically, I keep moving, right? I keep moving my insides to the best of my ability, and I keep moving my emotions and my spirit to a higher plane and a higher blessing. And I am extremely grateful for all of you and this opportunity to share. Thank you.